Most people think of success in relation to business and financial wealth. But I propose that you aren't really successful until success permeates your entire wheel of life. The seven spokes of that wheel are career, family, financial, mental, personal, physical, and spiritual. Success for Dummies covers success in every area or on every spoke of life. But what is success? Success is many things to many people. Here are a few signs of success. Success is closing the door on your office at the end of the day, knowing that you did a good job and that those who interacted with you had a positive experience. Success is looking forward to getting home and seeing the people you love. Success is turning out the lights and thinking to yourself, it just doesn't get much better than this. And here are a few things that success is not. Success isn't calling home from work for the fourth time this week, apologizing because you're going to miss dinner with the family again. Success isn't spending mental energy figuring out how to explain why you can't pay the bill in full as you promised, why your eyes are red and your blood pressure is going through the roof, and why you just don't find any joy in living. Yes, success is directly related to having a balanced life. If any one area is out of sync, all the areas of your life suffer. After listening to this recording, you'll have a complete mental checklist of what you need to do to be successful. Part 1, All About Success, delivers a success formula that you can apply to your life right now with astonishing results. Part 2, Getting Motivated, gives you a comprehensive understanding of not only what motivation is, but also how to get it, and how to get it back time and time again. Part 3, Putting Together a Strategic Plan, helps you to evaluate what you want out of life and shows you how to develop a plan for the goals you want to achieve. Part 4, Your Goals in Life, includes instruction on goals that deal with the spokes on the wheel of life. However, before you begin your journey into Success for Dummies, spend some very important time with yourself and contemplate what success means to you. Then, as you listen to the different sections, see how they line up with the concepts that you believe to be true. You may want to stop the recording now to think about your vision of success. If you're ready, we'll begin Part 1, All About Success. Over the years, I've developed a formula that has helped me achieve what I consider to be success. Throughout Success for Dummies, I refer to various parts of this formula, which begins with the right mental attitude and includes adding the right skills and the right philosophy, finding direction and building on a foundation of character. Your journey towards success will flow more smoothly if you ride the right attitude all the way to the top. You need to have the right attitude towards your family, friends, and associates, an attitude of acceptance, forgiveness, love, kindness, respect, and consideration goes a long way in any relationship. You also need to have a positive yet cautiously realistic attitude towards your own abilities and yourself. Knowing your capabilities and being realistic about your possibilities are a starting place for success. However, you should be far more positive than negative. You can undermine your success by setting your sights too low. Your attitude is enormously important. It enables you to accomplish amazing things. But without the right skills, you're limited in what you can do regardless of your attitude. An enthusiastic salesperson with the right attitude can achieve a degree of success in selling a good product. Sometimes even considerable success. But this individual can't realize his or her full potential without being thoroughly trained in the product and understanding something about the people with whom he or she is dealing. Without the skills to go with the right attitude, your success ceiling is predetermined, and it isn't especially high. Remember, motivation always precedes education. The person with the right attitude and the right skills can become more successful than ever before because competition by qualified people for good-paying, skilled jobs continue to decline. The third part of the success formula is to have the golden rule philosophy. I state it like this. You have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. I hasten to add that this philosophy isn't a feel-good theory. It is a highly practical approach to your overall success. Life is not a series of isolated chambers. Directly and indirectly, all aspects of life, personal, business, and so on, are interwoven. Your physical, mental, and spiritual lives are connected, and all these areas impact the financial aspects of your life. Over the years, I've identified that everybody, regardless of where they live and what they do, wants the following 8 things in life: to be happy, to be healthy, to be at least reasonably prosperous, to be secure, to have friends, to have peace of mind, to have good family relationships, and to have hope. You can have the right attitude, the right skills, and the golden rule philosophy, but if you don't have a game plan for life, you will ultimately become a wandering generality. You must have a planned direction if you're going to utilize your attitude, ability, training, and philosophy to the fullest. No one attempts to build even a doghouse without a plan. Yet most people never learn how to develop a plan of action for their lives and spend years in occupations or professions that they chose at someone else's suggestion or because it was easy or available. Success for Dummies is designed to inspire you to make the plans necessary to get the things you really want in life. After you make your plans, little things that would have previously stumped you won't get in the way. Character is the 5th and final part of the success formula. Without it, the best attitude, the strongest skills, the most concrete philosophy, and the most worthwhile objectives mean nothing. People with integrity do the right thing. When you have integrity, you have nothing to fear because you have nothing to hide. In doing the right thing for the right reason, you experience no guilt and no fear. With those 2 albatrosses taken from around your neck, it's much easier to travel farther, faster, and higher. So here's the success formula as a whole: the right attitude, plus specific skills, plus the right philosophy and the right objectives, all built on a character base, enables you to have winning relationships with friends, family, associates, and members of the community at large. Why is Success for Dummies centered around relationships? Because if you ask 1,000 people what they want most in life, I can assure you that happiness would be near the top of everyone's list. Ask those same people what they think would make them happiest of all, and the overwhelming majority would say it's having wonderful relationships with the people they love. I challenge you to check your own record. You'll probably find that if you're getting along well with the most important people in your life, that is, the people you love, you are basically a happy person. On the other side of the ledger, if you're not getting along well with the people you love, it doesn't make any difference how many bucks you've got in the bank or whether you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You still are not a happy person. Take a look at your own relationships and think about how you can make them better. The information in the next section can help you turn those so-so relationships into relationships that bring happiness to everyone involved. Optimism is the starting point for winning relationships. Most folks would rather be around a person who sees hope in the future than one who sees nothing but trouble ahead. I'm talking about the kind of optimist who sees a solution in every problem, whose undying conviction is that everything in nature is ordered for the best and is adapted to produce the most good. With optimism as a foundation for winning relationships, look at some of the tudes of life. Concentrate on these tudes and you'll build winning relationships everywhere. Gratitude. I mention this tude first because the more you express gratitude for what you have, the more you will have to express gratitude for. You'll never find a happy person who isn't a grateful person. Grateful people are fun to be around. Magnitude is the second tude. You need to magnify the important things and reduce the magnitude of problems that seem insurmountable. Don't make mountains out of molehills is a wise observation. It stabilizes relationships. Latitude is the final tude. Latitude is a way of saying that you have the freedom to do virtually anything within the bounds of human decency and law. Regardless of ancestry, the circumstances of your youth, and so on, you have the latitude to move from where you are to where you want to be. And when you grant that latitude to others, you cement your relationships. To build winning relationships, you need to understand the other person's perspective. You also need to think like the other person thinks so that you can speak in understandable terms. I love the story of the doctor's wife who called a plumber because she was having trouble with a toilet. The plumber asked her, "What's the problem?" She said, "The toilet can't swallow." That was the language they both understood. When you make yourself understood, you score points and build good relationships. The next example gives a different person at home or on the job. In either place, you need to treat people like cows. My dad died during the Great Depression when I was 5, so all of us kids did our part around the house. Our economic survival was built around 5 milk cows and a large garden. I was milking cows by the time I was 8 years old, and I can tell you from experience that cows don't give milk. You have to fight for every drop. I can also tell you that the way you treat the cow has a direct bearing on the quantity and the quality of the milk she produces. If you speak harshly to her and treat her badly, two things happen. She gives less milk, and the milk may not be usable, because when she's upset, the milk she produces is often bitter and useless. She also may retaliate and kick you, too. Speaking kindly to a cow and stroking her a time or two lets her know that you appreciate her efforts. My mother loved her cows and expected her children to love them and treat them well. As a result, we got maximum production from our cows. Here's the message. Treat people kindly, gently, and with respect and consideration. They'll respond favorably. On the other hand, if you're unkind and speak harshly, people are unable to perform at their best. Kindness and consideration have many rewards wherever you are and whatever you're doing. When someone says something nice to or about you, that lifts your spirits and makes you feel good. If you make a habit of passing that feeling on to someone else by sincerely complimenting them for something they said or did, you'll be amazed at what happens. You feel even better about yourself. The other person is pleased. Winning relationships are established, are reinforced, and you'll see this principle come to life. Relationships are important. Build relationships first, and building a career, a marriage, or a business becomes much easier. Besides fulfilling relationships, what makes a successful business person, mate, parent, or individual? I believe that success is made up of the characteristics described in this next section. These are qualities that you learn and acquire over time. Conviction, commitment, hard work, integrity, character, consistency, persistency, a sense of humor, and faith. Your heredity, environment, and connections are also important factors. Conviction and commitment comes first. Success begins with a desire to be successful and the conviction that you can be successful. Then and only then do you make plans to reach that specific objective. After you make plans, you must be willing to commit to them. For the successful, hard work is a must. In society today, many people are somewhat like the fella who, when asked how long he'd been working for his company, responded, "Ever since they threatened to fire me." The same may be true in your relationships with your mate and your children. Too often, it's only when you get into trouble that you get serious about working to solve the problem. However, real freedom is yours when you give your best in every situation. The successful person has integrity. Integrity is a hallmark of success that everyone can readily identify. The kind of person you are determines the things you do, whether it's at home, on the job, or in society. A successful person has character, consistency, and persistency. Consistency is one of the most important and stabilizing qualities you can have. Your consistency is determined to an extraordinarily large degree by your character. You can't inherit character, but you can learn it and then demonstrate it. The successful person is persistent. Persistence enables you, through various experiences and failures, to uncover talents and develop a creativity that first astonishes you, then delights you, and finally brings you material rewards far beyond your initial expectations. People who quit when they encounter the first obstacle never develop the creativity that is the ultimate reward for keeping a commitment and persisting until you reach your objective. Of course, heredity and environment play a part in success. The big advantage that heredity offers is the lessons you learn, the parent or surrogate parent teaches by telling, and consistently living and showing by example, the qualities of life that ensure long-term success. You may be thinking, I came from a bad environment. What about me? Where does this leave me? The answer is that your past leaves you with a brilliant future if you're willing to accept responsibility for making that future all that it can be. A truly successful person has a sense of humor. Learning to take things in stride and smiling when you could have chosen to get angry just as easily is to your advantage 100% of the time. If you can find the humor in otherwise distressing situations, you will enjoy life more fully and you'll move past obstacles much easier. Faith is the greatest hallmark of success. My friends and acquaintances are of many different faiths, but all of them believe that they don't have the final word in how their lives play out. They know that they are not alone in their journey from birth to death, and this knowledge strengthens them for the trials they face along life's way. Supporting the people you love and care about is far easier when you feel loved and cared about as well. Life is so much more than money. And perhaps the greatest success of all is owning that little piece of knowledge. I can just guess what you're thinking, and you're right. The successful person does have connections. The right connections can open doors. But what happens inside those doors is entirely up to you and your own persuasiveness and abilities. As you listen to this recording, you'll discover relationship skills that can help you overcome those inherited or environmental problems you may have had as a child and can catapult you into the fast-forward category of life. But how can you make the necessary changes to get on track? Part 2, Getting Motivated Will Light a Fire Under You. Welcome to Part 2, Getting Motivated. Motivation is a powerful tool for success. The degree to which you can remain motivated and continue to make forward progress determines whether you realize the life goals that you establish. But the reward for being motivated isn't just raw goal accomplishment. The accompanying benefits of being motivated are numerous, and they can change your life. Let's look at 8 benefits. You can probably think of even more. The first benefit is creativity. Motivated people think more clearly. They focus more intellectual resources on their current project, and the result is more creativity. The second benefit is energy. People who are motivated actually need less sleep, not because they're on a constant adrenaline rush, but because they possess a genuine, energizing excitement. The next benefit is health. People who have a positive feeling about their life and its potential have reasons to get and stay healthy. Magnetism is the 4th benefit of being motivated. Others are naturally drawn to winners and folks who are energizing by nature and habit. The 5th benefit of being motivated is momentum. Motivation gathers speed as it rolls along in offices, homes, and communities. Next is multiplication. Motivation is contagious. It spreads and multiplies. Then the 7th benefit is recognition. When people live a motivated lifestyle, others respect them for their achievements and, because they want to be associated with a winner, offer their assistance. Finally, productivity is a prime benefit of being motivated. Motivated people get more done. They move quickly, deliberately, and with a concern for maintaining a can-do attitude along the way. That little feeling of anticipation you may have felt when hearing about the rewards of motivation is just an inkling of what motivation is. Being motivated means being ready to take action. You can know every detail of how to become successful, but you need to be ready to act on that knowledge in order to start your journey towards success. All my life, I've tried to understand why people do the things they do. And sometimes, my greatest challenge is to figure out the motivating factors for my own behavior. When I boil down all my observations into a couple of concepts that get people to do something, I come up with these two motivators, the desire for gain and the fear of loss. According to Rabbi Daniel Lapin, four basic desires motivate people: wealth, power, wisdom, and honor. Unfortunately, in today's world, people often confuse honor with popularity and work to get the latter with disastrous long-term results. Taking the service approach and doing the right thing gives you a realistic chance of being recognized, rewarded, and honored for the right reasons. Fear of loss is the second motivator. You should have real fear in walking across a busy street without going to the corner. A fear of driving your car at excessive speeds under any conditions, but particularly where the visibility is poor or the streets are slippery, is legitimate. Legitimate fear, for realistic reasons, is not only natural, but also desirable. However, you must be able to distinguish healthy fears from the unhealthy ones. When you can do that, fear is a friend. Until you can do so, however, fear can be an enemy. Figure out what you should fear and approach the rest with confidence. The bottom line for motivation is reward. Some kind of reward, whether it's a gain or a loss, is behind all behavior. The promise is that something significant is going to come your way if you accomplish an objective. Three stages of rewards do the job of keeping people motivated. The carrot, or the enticement of a reward, gets you going. You build your visions during this stage. Milestones are the point at which you get smaller rewards for partial completion of a task or journey. The prize is the payoff you were hoping for. All three stages of the process are powerful tools for motivating yourself toward the success that you have defined for yourself. In short, it's not the absence of opportunity, but the absence of motivation that is the problem for most people. If you really think that you have no future, let me suggest that having a future is a matter of choice on your part. I can emphatically say to you that if you continue to read books and listen to recordings like this one and start setting specific goals, you are doing something about your future. Your excitement or motivation grows, and from that point on, you can develop the action that dramatically enriches your future. You've learned all about success and motivation. Now let's put it all together in part three, putting together a strategic plan. You are what you are and where you are because of countless choices that you've made during your lifetime. When you understand that every choice has an end result, you place yourself in a position to become successful in every area of your life. The goal of this section is to help you identify whether you're on or off course, based on the decisions and choices you've made, and to get you headed down the right path if you aren't already there. At this exact moment, you are where you are because of the choices you have made in your life. Many of those decisions were relatively easy for you. Most choices, what you eat, the clothes you wear, the route you take to work, which shoe you put on first, and so on, are made by habit. Even tradition can make you base your choices on habit. But being truly realistic about the choices you make means making conscious decisions. Success and leadership demand that you make tough, important, and even controversial decisions, often in advance, if you expect to reach your full potential. Great golfers, those who win on the PGA Tour, establish a routine that they follow religiously before every shot. This routine relaxes them and gives them confidence that they will hit the ball well. Similarly, following a procedure before making significant decisions, whether you make them individually or with counsel, gives you confidence that you will make good decisions. I go through this procedure and follow some basic rules every time I make a significant decision. If I'm really tired, I don't make significant decisions, except in emergencies. If someone is pressing me to decide something right now, unless an immediate decision is critical, I say, if I have to decide now, the answer is no. Once I've had a chance to catch my breath and review the facts, there's the possibility it could be yes. I like to determine the maximum benefit of a decision, assuming that everything goes my way. Then I ask, suppose nothing goes my way. Suppose this doesn't develop and materialize as I expect it to. What would I lose? For significant business-related decisions, and these must be really big, I run them past our board of directors. These people are successful in their businesses and professions and have a considerable amount of knowledge, experience, and wisdom, all of which are must in the decision-making process. If the decision is too minor to involve the board, but I still want input, I get my family together to look at the pros and cons. I also like to pray about my decisions. I ask God to help me see the truth of my motives and to lead me in the way I should go. If I'm about to make an unwise decision, I simply don't have peace about that decision, and I consequently act on that feeling of unease. This last point brings up another thought. Sometimes you have to sacrifice what you want to do for or with your family at the moment for their long-range benefit. The financial gain may be so significant that the family would be served best in the long term by making the decision a financial one. However, be careful to note any trends, and if the financial consideration starts to win too often, then the decision goes to the family, almost regardless of the financial benefits that may come your way. I conclude this section with an idea that explains the irrational behavior of intelligent people from time to time. Rabbi Daniel Lapin, a scientist trained in logic, explains that cognitive dissonance is the culprit. Cognitive dissonance means that you choose to reject data that conflicts with an emotional position you hold. For example, sometimes when a friend has just bought the same model of car that you have, you ask the question, "How much did you pay for it?" He gives you a figure quite lower than the one you paid. You doubt it very seriously and tell your mate and friends, "He paid more for it than that." Your mind and soul reject information that hurts. That's an important principle in understanding yourself and making better, more logical decisions. Most people wear many different hats. Chances are excellent that you are, in one form or another, pursuing financial resources to support yourself and your family. You are undoubtedly interested in spending time with your family and friends. In addition, you no doubt want to find out more about yourself, your life, and how to accomplish your objectives. You recognize that you need to take care of yourself physically, and wanting to rest and relax along the way is perfectly natural. You also want to be a good neighbor and contribute to society. All those desires are natural and good, but you simply can't focus on all of them simultaneously. The objective is to focus on what you're busily engaged in doing at the moment. For example, I know someone whose objective was to get healthy. In order to do that, she needed to quit drinking alcohol, stop smoking, lose 35 pounds, and start an exercise program. She got healthy, and it took her only 11 years. What? 11 years? Yes, getting healthy is a process, and she had to start at the beginning. The alcohol had to go first. Had she tried to quit smoking while she was still drinking, the alcohol would have lowered her resistance to the urge to smoke, and she would have smoked. She had to quit smoking before she could lose weight and get in shape, because she had a hard time breathing when she exercised, and past attempts at quitting smoking taught her that she would gain weight. She quit smoking with the knowledge that she would gain weight, but that she would lose it as soon as she got used to not smoking. A year passed before she was ready to exercise and lose weight. 2 years later, she had lost her weight and was feeling good about herself. She had focused on breaking one habit at a time, and she methodically worked through her long-range plan for good health. Had she tried to change any two or more major areas at the same time, she would have short-circuited from the stress, and failure would have been imminent. To be successful in life, you need to learn to work toward one major objective and juggle 2 to 3 short-range to mid-range goals at a time. This section shows you how to do just that. I show you how to identify the areas of your life that need and deserve the majority of your attention and how balancing your life makes you better at everything you do. The number of goals to be, do, and have is innumerable, so learning how to prioritize which goals are worth your time and attention is very important. The following list can help you to do so. First, on a notepad, identify everything you want to be, do, or have. Second, after 24 hours, ask yourself why you choose each item. If you can't articulate in one sentence why a goal is significant and appropriate at this time, delete that goal from your list. Third, ask yourself, do the goals I have show balance? Fourth, ask yourself these five questions. Is it really my goal? Is it morally right and fair to everyone involved? Will it take me closer to my long-range objectives? Can I commit myself to start and reach this goal? Can I see myself reaching this goal? Fifth, give each goal this final test of the basic eight wants in life. Will it make me happier? Will it make me healthier? Will it make me more prosperous? Will it increase my security? Will it help me make more friends? Will it give me more peace of mind? Will it improve my family relationships? Will it increase my hope for the future? Before you decide whether a single goal fits into your goals program, you should work that goal through this 8-step process. This process can take considerable time, but it can save you years and much frustration by eliminating goals that are not for you at this time and helping you to identify what you need to focus on now. Step 1, set a goal that's SMART. As explained in the preceding section, your goal must be SMART. That's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. The S in SMART stands for specific. Write down every goal you have and put boundaries around it so that you will know when you have achieved that goal. Saying, I'm going to be a better parent, simply isn't effective. You must specifically and clearly identify your target. If you decide that you're going to be a better parent, for example, you must determine better than what? Better than being too tired after work to spend time helping with homework? Get specific. The M stands for measurable. Not every goal is measurable. However, putting measures on a goal helps you to realize at any moment where you are in pursuing that goal. For example, if your goal is, I want to be a better mom, you can set up steps such as the following. I will tuck my children into bed lovingly and carefully every night this week and spend those last few minutes talking with them. This week, I would spend at least 1 hour in one-on-one time with each of my kids, doing something that each child particularly enjoys. At the end of the week, give yourself a checkup to determine whether you've completed each step. The more effectively you can measure a goal, the more likely you are to complete the goal because progress itself is a tremendous encourager. Even though you can't see progress by the day, you will by the end of the week, or certainly by the end of the month. The A in the SMART acrostic stands for attainable, and the R stands for realistic, meaning the goals are out of reach, but not out of sight. Many people set goals that are completely out of reach, whereas others set them so low that they represent no challenge. Both approaches are unrealistic. You must have a realistic chance of reaching a goal, combined with the belief that you will reach it in order for it to have long-range motivational impact. The T stands for timely. You need a reaching point or an accomplishment point if the goal can be measured in that way. Formulate a plan of action with a deadline that enables you to take incremental steps in measuring your progress. When I realized that I was able to get into a smaller suit after every 10 pounds of weight loss, I was motivated to lose the 10 pounds so that I could justify the purchase of the new suit. That goal was realistic and attainable, and I accomplished it 25 years ago because my lifestyle changed, the weight remains off. Make your goals fit your lifestyle. Step 2, identify what's in it for you. People often fail to reach their goals because they concentrate on the cost rather than the benefits. If I lose the weight, they reason, I'll have to give up this and do that. Or if I quit smoking, I know that I'll gain weight and be miserable and difficult to get along with. Instead of concentrating on the negatives, think of the benefits that you're going to enjoy. As you set goals, make a list of the tangible rewards that will be yours when you reach each goal. Each time you begin to ask yourself whether pursuing a goal is worth the effort, simply take out the list of benefits and read them aloud again. Step 3. List the obstacles that stand between you and your goal. You need to identify obstacles in order to be realistic and to avoid being surprised. People have shared with me many times that they had no idea that pursuing such and such a goal was going to be so demanding, require so much effort, take so long, and involve so many unexpected pitfalls. Careful planning in advance eliminates much of this disappointment, but you must understand that you can't all see the roadblocks ahead. That's why commitment, attitude, responsibility, and focus on the benefits remain constant necessities. Patience is also extremely important. Just remember that by keeping yourself focused on the goal, you can see the benefits and not just the obstacles. Step 4. Seek counsel and guidance. You may need a counselor of some kind to carefully identify what skills are required to reach your goal. Seeking guidance also helps you along the way because you have a carefully prepared plan of action intact for dealing with obstacles. Step 5. Consider who can help you. Henry Ostrich's barn floor was inundated with 29 inches of water because of a rising creek. This Bruno, Nebraska farmer recognized that he had a substantial problem, but he also believed that he could find a solution. His objective was to move his entire 17,000-pound barn to a new foundation 143 feet away. Herman's son Mike devised a latticework of steel tubing and nailed, bolted, and welded it on the inside and the outside of the barn. To this framework, he attached hundreds of handles. Then Herman invited 344 volunteers to pick up his barn and move it to the new foundation. Actually, the process was reasonably simple. After just one practice lift, the volunteers slowly walked the barn up a slight incline to the new foundation. Interestingly enough, each volunteer had to lift less than 50 pounds, and moving the barn to its new foundation took only 3 minutes. Two great lessons come from this little story. A considerable amount of thought and preparation on the parts of Herman and his son Mike set the stage. They had to have a specific, workable plan of action. What one or two people would find impossible, the community found relatively simple. Teamwork goes a long way to solve many problems. The next time you encounter a difficult situation that you can't handle alone, think about these two principles and put them to work. Step 6. List the skills and knowledge required. I'm quite sure that Herman Ostry wrote out a list of things that would have to be done to move his barn. He probably included in that list the names of people who had the skills and knowledge to do each task. Lucky for Herman, his son had the skills and knowledge necessary to weld handles onto the barn and the mathematical capabilities to know how many handles were needed and how far apart they needed to be placed. This step is necessary when you enlist others to help you achieve your goal. Step 7. Develop a plan of action. How are you going to incorporate all the preceding steps and bring them together so that you have a specific plan of action to overcome the obstacles, enjoy the benefits, develop the skills, and work with the people involved? The plan must be specific. You must have a commitment to reach that objective, and you must have a daily checklist so that you know what you're doing toward reaching that goal. You also need weekly and quarterly checklists to be certain that you're making progress on your mid-range and long-range goals and that you're not getting sidetracked along the way. Step 8. Set a deadline for achievement. A goal without a deadline is nothing more than a good intention. You must set a start time and a finish time for every goal that you set. Without a time frame, it is too easy to procrastinate, especially on the goals that are going to take months or even years to achieve. Plan your completion date, and when you arrive there with your goal accomplished, reward yourself. If finances are tight, consider an evening out, a family picnic, or a drive in the country. Just make sure that the reward is one that you thoroughly enjoy. Regardless of your budget, you can find ways to reward yourself. A lot of thought and effort goes into creating a workable goals program for yourself, but you will be rewarded in wonderful ways if you discipline yourself to follow your plan to achieve your goals. When you make goal planning a part of your life, You'll wonder how you ever made it from one year to the next without a program. The saying, you win some, you lose some, survives because it's true. In this next section, I take a look at some events that may impede your progress on the road to success and show you how to deal with those events so that they don't hold you back for long. We'll look at failures and bad attitudes, the roles of integrity, persistence, optimism, forgiveness, and humility in overcoming discouragement, and how to handle mistakes of any kind.